Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Boomer and Geo,
BT and Sal,
Evan and Tiki,
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
Well, hello there to another episode of WFAN Daily with your host, Pete Hoffman. And there's not much to really get happy about and get excited about as these two New York teams just continue to suck the life out of the fans that watch these games. I mean, that's legitimately what's going on here. You have the Yankees and Aaron Judge lead off the game with a home run, and it feels like one nothing, and they you know, maybe the offense could break out because, let's be serious, the one person that finds a way to light the match and start things up for the Yankees is always Aaron Judge. So the fact that he gets a home run in the first inning, starts this game off right for the Yankees, and then the offense goes cold, does nothing. You do get a Bellinger three-hit performance, two doubles, but nothing to show for it. You do get Jason Dominguez, two hits, nothing to show for it. And then you sprinkle in another hit by Austin Wells, another hit by Giancarlo Stanton, but that's it. Nada, nothing. And you basically put Alan Winans, whatever his name is, basically up to slaughter. You know, I mean, he didn't have a terrible game for someone who's not pitched well at all in his major league career, to only go, you know, to go 4 1/3, 4 earned runs. I mean, 1 strikeout, whatever, but 5 hits, you take it. I know it was basically the Ellie De La Cruz show in Cincinnati. And it was just another bad loss. But I guess you give a pass because of the pitcher who was on the mound. And if the offense is going to go dead this series, this, I guess, is the game for them to go dead. Like, screw it. Don't fight back, you know, in a game where you think that you're not going to win because Winans isn't going to keep you in it. I guess I respect that. Not really. Lodolo, the starter for the Reds, he only went 4 1/3 as well. Pitched 94 pitches in 4 1/3. But, again, he only gave up – he gave up 6 hits as well, only gave up the 1 home run to Aaron Judge, 6 Ks otherwise. And then the bullpen just came in and did the rest of the work. But a lackluster game with the Yankees. Let's get them out of the way because I was at the Met game. I was at the Met game with Evan. And let's just say this. Juan Soto can't deliver every time. It's impossible. There's never going to be a way for Juan Soto to deliver big hit after big hit after big hit. Doesn't make a difference how much money you give the guy. It's impossible for him to do it. But what he does do is he does help minimize the damage. This is now maybe the fourth or fifth game where he has had a home run, a big home run, to cut the lead in half, make it, you know, make the Mets down by a run, which he did on Monday night, and it doesn't make a difference because he is the only offense. Now, how many times in the beginning part of the season did the Mets basically carry the team around Juan Soto because he sucked? Sure, that's a great point. That happened quite often in the beginning of the season because Juan Soto wasn't really doing anything. He was really, really Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso. But times have changed, people. And Juan Soto is basically the only offense in sight. And he came up in a huge spot and struck out. And that's frustrating. And I feel like Juan Soto still hasn't had his bet moment, and that was it right there. There were two runners on. It was Lindor and Nimmo on, and you just felt this big moment right here was for Juan Soto for the taking, and they could put them up with one swing of the bat. This game could go down 3-2 to up to 5-3 and flip the script on what's been going on with this latest stretch, which has now turned into 9 out of 10 losses. 10 games, 9 of them are losses. 1-9 is the record. It is disgusting. It is terrible. And Panic City is starting to occur because if you're a Met fan, this is what happens. This is exactly what happens. When you are an underdog and everyone counts you out and you're not good enough, this team isn't good enough, maybe this is a rebuilding year, whatever it is, and you see them flourish and find a way to climb up and come back from being down as many games as they were last year. To make the playoffs was amazing. It was unexpected by so many people. To me, I thought, okay, they were always going to be around an 85-win team. They just started off really bad. But still, underdogs. They had to fight tooth and nail for it. Now, they got a bullpen on their back. Bullseye on their back, excuse me. And it's not just because they made the playoffs last year. It's because of Juan Soto as well. So you got twofold. You're supposed to be a top team because you spent a ton of money, and you got the best player in baseball. Or the one of the best players in baseball. Again, it's all debatable if you want to say Aaron Judge, if you want to say Shohei. Juan Soto definitely up there, though, for one of the top players in baseball today. But so you got a bullseye on your back. So now that comfortable lead that you had and losing now 9 of 10 games, that bullseye, it's getting bigger. And people are hitting the target because they're coming closer and closer to taking your ass out. And I'm not saying that the Mets are not going to make the playoffs this year. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is it might be a very, very short ride in the playoffs. It might be a quick in and out. Like, this is very reminiscent of 2022 where, yeah, you had to fight tooth and nail to get to 101 wins. And then you go to a wild card game and get knocked out by the Padres. This kind of has that feel of you're going to be in a battle with Philadelphia all season long. And guess what? It's not just Philadelphia. Because the more you lose to the freaking Braves, the more likely they find a way to sneak into the playoffs because you are losing your grip. This team should have been dead in the water. Dead. Pack them up. Send them home. See you later. But 4 losses in a row to the Braves have created more and more life to this team. And guess what? Tuesday, Frankie Montas is pitching. You know what that means? L. Big old loss. That's what that means. There's no chance in hell the Mets are going to win that game. If Frankie Montas can give you 3 to 4 innings and limit the damage to 5 or 6 runs, I guess that's a win. I guess. His ERA right now in the minors in his rehab starts in 18 innings is over 12. So it's more than a run per inning. So if you give me 3 to 4 innings and give up about 5 to 6 runs, we're sitting around that 12 mark. So I guess that's what we have to look forward to. And then there's still 2 more games after that. It's not looking pretty right now. It's not looking pretty, and it doesn't seem like there's going to be an end to this until you get to Pittsburgh. But by then, you're too late, because then in the division, if you lose these next 3 games to the Braves, besides the fact that you've gone, what's the record now? I'm trying to do math in my head. 12-13. They would be 12 out of 13 games they would have lost. If you lose 12 out of 13 games and 9 of those losses come from the division, you have put yourself in a bad hole. You know, right now, the Mets, Let's go to the schedule. Let's go to standings here. Let's go look at the standings. Because that'll be fun. That'll be nice. So the Mets currently right now are sitting a game and a half out. Philadelphia didn't play. So they're 47-31 still. Mets are 46-33. And Atlanta, all of a sudden, are 10.5 out. You lose three more games to them, they're getting more ground. You're telling them they're at a point where they may be 39-41. So this team was dead and buried. Dead and buried.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And now they're at a chance of being close to 500, which the Mets were last year. I mean, this is, we've seen the story before. We've seen the story before. The Mets did it last year. They're giving it back. They're giving it freaking back. And now you got a ton of teams that are fighting for playoff spots. Philly, the Mets, the Cubs, the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, which we'll get to that in a second, and then the Braves. And you could include the Cardinals and the Reds too. Really, the Rockies, the Pirates, the Marlins, and the Nationals, those are the four teams that are out. There's four teams that are out. I know it's not even halfway through the season yet, and it's like, oh, well, you're already saying teams are out. No. Four teams are out. Everybody else is all in right now. Everybody else is in the mix for the playoffs. And the Mets are now finding themselves closer to the bottom of the pack for the wild card. That's a problem. Their winning percentage is 582. The Giants are there, 564. Brewers there, 544. Cardinals, 544. Padres, 545. Arizona's 513. Now, listen, here's the thing about Arizona that I wanted to say. So news came out just a little while ago. One of their top players, Corbin Carroll, is now out indefinitely with a chip in his wrist. And I don't know how long it's going to take for him to come back. I looked it up really quickly. It said anywhere between recovery time is 3 weeks to 12 weeks. But even with rehab, fully healthy, it takes about 8 months to a year to get fully healthy from a chip fracture in your wrist. I don't know what that means for Corbin Carroll, but that's not a good sign for the Diamondbacks. So maybe, and I hate saying this, but maybe that's good luck. Not good luck, but maybe that's a good sign that that's one less team they have to deal with. And maybe that they're going to have to trade off some assets, and maybe you could, you know, find somebody there that you want to sweep up. Because now, not just Corbin Burns, who was out with Tommy John with the elbow issue and now having Tommy John, he's going to be out for a year. Now Corbin Carroll, you don't know how long he's going to be out for. Those are two major injuries to an Arizona Diamondbacks team that is in the toughest division in baseball right now. The NL West is extremely tough. The Dodgers are the best team in baseball. I don't care what you say. I mean, even with I think right now, definitely in the NL, but yeah, I mean, Detroit's the only other one with a winning percentage higher than the Dodgers. But still, the Dodgers are the best team in the league. They just are. End of story. So you're fighting them. You're fighting San Francisco. You're fighting San Diego. There's three teams that are better than Arizona. It's going to be a tough sell for the Diamondbacks to make a way to get up there. San Francisco obviously bolstered up with Devers. San Diego is always finding ways to make stupid trades and bring in as much talent as possible towards the deadline. So you just never know, even though Fernando Tatis Jr. may have his head in other places right now as he's going through a money issue right now. So, but besides that, though, like that division is extremely tough. So the Mets have a lot of competition in this NL. It's not going to be easy. And if you really want to know the major concern here, so we ran through how good Soto's been. Okay, fine. The pitching has basically stutter-stepped recently. They've taken a step back. Even though Monday, you can't really kill him because Paul Blackburn basically did his job. He gave up three runs. And even though I was killing him every single inning, you know, 4 2/3, three runs, and then the bullpen comes in and shuts everyone down. I mean, you really can't ask for much more than that. They gave three runs. They stopped the bleeding. It was only three runs. It could have been a hell of a lot worse. And that's all it was three runs. And the Mets could only score two. So we could sit there and complain about the pitching being lackluster recently. Still, giving up three runs is not bad at all. But the offense has been flat. Offensive has been flat. And now you're seeing David Stearns make moves because he's not going to stay still. He's not going to sit there and be like, they'll figure it out. They're professionals. Well, let's have the coaches work it. The coaches will fix it. No, no, no. What David Stearns does is he puts things into action. Francisco Alvarez, whether it's an injury that you still haven't recovered from yet, or if there's something else going on, or you're just mentally not there, you have a kid, all this stuff, we are sending your ass down. Get out of here right now and go fix that stuff. Go fix it and realize that next time you come back up here, you got to be impactful. Otherwise, we're moving in a different direction. Guess who I saw was hitting much better recently? That guy, Kevin Parada, another catcher that's in the minors, who was doing terrible for the longest time. But maybe something clicked with him. Maybe he's the next catcher of the future for the New York Mets. You never know. David Stearns is not going to sit around and wait to see if Francisco Alvarez can figure it out over the next year or two. He's going to keep on cruising and find something that works. And Luis Torrens was working up until Monday when he struggled again, defensively too. Then you have the third base situation between Beatty, Mauricio, Vientos. I don't know which one's going to work out. Right now, I would bet Mauricio would be better, is going to have a better career than Vientos, better career than Beatty. Vientos is the guy in the middle, though, because you've already seen the track record. He can perform. He hasn't this year. He can, though. We've seen he can. Can he be, now that he's healthy, he's coming back in a couple days, hopefully, can he get back to where he was last year when he was in the playoffs being a stud? Can that happen? Brett Beatty, I'm totally done with. But, yeah, right now, for some reason, I wouldn't be surprised if Mauricio goes down and Beatty stays here. For defensive purposes, left-handed bat off the bench, whatever the case is, and Vientos gets the job. But that's not good enough. They're not doing anything special. They sent down Luis Angel Acuña, who that guy was a spark plug, and then had to take a backseat to Jeff McNeil and basically wasn't being used. You know, you can't sit there and say, oh, the guy's not doing anything. Yeah, he's not doing anything because he's not being played. What is he supposed to do? I mean, he can do everything he wants. He's a pitch runner, defensive replacement. He does his job, but he's not being used enough. Send him down. Is that the right move? If he's not going to play, yeah, I guess it is. Jared Young's still on the team. Travis Janikowski's on the team. And that's where I'm looking at going, these are the replacements. These are the guys that are going to be off the bench. It's not a heavy bench. It's not a strength to this team. It's not. Yeah, a little speed with Travis Janikowski. Maybe a little defensive replacement there. But that is not what you need. You don't need these little, tiny, minute moves to get you back into the playoff run. I'm sorry. I mean, you need to play clean baseball, that's for sure. But I don't expect these veterans, these journeymen, to do that. I really don't. It's really on Soto. It's really on Lindor. It's really on Pete. It's really on Nimmo. And I'm going to throw it on McNeil, too, because he's been around as one of the longest. But those are the guys. That's kind of it. You don't know who's DHing every day because it's always rotating, which is fine. But, I mean, I don't trust Marte anymore the way I used to. Winker's not back yet. Jared Young should not be here. And he shouldn't be playing if he's here. He shouldn't be. There's needs to be better options. The bullpen, they're up and down so much. I don't know anymore. I mean, Reed Garrett had a better outing. Ryan Stanek had a better outing. Jose Buto got out of the issue that Paul Blackburn put him in. So, I mean, today was, or Monday was a good day for the bullpen, but they've been struggling too. It's all over the place. I don't see how the Mets are going to break through anytime soon. I don't. The offense was supposed to be better, and it hasn't been. I don't know how that's going to change with the roster they have right now. I also don't think they should go fishing for big-name talent, which is not much out there, and bring him in. Byron Buxton, I heard, don't want him. He gets hurt all the time. Jarren Duran, interesting, but I don't know if he can handle New York. Cedric Mullins, I have no interest in Cedric Mullins. He's not Tyrone Taylor, I understand, is not a good center fielder offensively. I get it. But you're going to have to bring – if you're going to make a trade for somebody and give up prospects, you're going to have to give up pieces. You got to bring in a stud. That's what you have to do. Otherwise, I'm fine with Tyrone Taylor out there. And you're going to have to find a different way. And maybe you're going to have to cut ties with Jeff McNeil. Maybe you're going to have to cut ties with Jesse Winker or Starling Marte or Paul Blackburn or Frankie Montas or somebody. Like some of these guys, like I said, David Stearns did this last year. Joey Wendell, hey, you're not working out, see ya. Zach Short, you're not working out, see ya. We saw Michael Tonkin in and out of the Mets roster twice. It's just how it goes. And that's what I want to see from David Stearns. I want to see that cutthroat president. I want to see him be cutthroat and say, this isn't working, and I'm going to make it work. I'm going to find the pieces that fit. That's what we need from David Stearns right now, because you can't have this. You can't have lose 9 out of 10 and think this is okay. That is what I've continuously said over and over and over. This goes back to years, the Javi Baez years with the Mets too. Steve Cohen, you bought the team. You can say what you want about fixing the culture, fixing the feel of for the fans. The only way to do that is not allow this to happen, not allow another collapse to happen. And right now, they are in a collapse. They are free-falling. And like I said, the next three games for the New York Mets, I don't see a win. I don't see a win. I don't see how the New York Mets are going to find a way to break past these Braves, who haven't done anything too special. They really haven't. It's just the Mets are so flat right now. And this is why, at the end of the day, and I said this about the Yankees too, this type of streak is a glaring hole into this team. Not saying they can't get to the playoffs, but if this is a possibility to happen in the playoffs and to completely shut down and break down and be in and out of the playoffs within a round. And that's unacceptable. That is unacceptable. All right, listen, really quick, let me just open a pack. I feel terrible about myself right now after that game. It was so bad. And Juan Soto, I mean, it was so frustrating because I felt his moment was right there. Two men on, it's the eighth inning. I hated the fact that there was two outs there. Hated the fact that he came up with two outs. I hated the fact that, again, you had Luis Torrens, and then you had Brett Beatty get out before Lindor gets on base, and then Nimmo gets on base, and then it's Soto up. And it's like you wanted that rally. You know, if somebody else could have gotten on base the inning prior and kind of extended a little bit more so that Lindor could have let off with the base hit, and then Nimmo get on, and then put yourself in a situation where you got three guys who could potentially get a base hit, something to tie the freaking game. Instead, it's always situation, two outs, now you got two on, go get them. All right, Royce Lewis, this guy is always injured. It's terrible. I mean, if you draft him in fantasy baseball, you understand he's no good because he's not healthy. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., that guy's, he makes a lot of money. I don't know how good he's doing this year, but he makes a lot of money. This is Ohtani, Ozuna, and Schwarber. I would burn this card, but I'm going to give it to my kids instead because they like him. Orlando Arcia, okay. Hey, look at this guy. I know this guy. Michael King in the nice San Diego Padres. Did they get rid of that City Connect jersey? I think they did. I can't see it. Can you see that? I don't know. Well, regardless, it's Michael King. This is going to be nothing in this pack because I pulled, I think, the only relic I have, which really stinks. And it was a Nolan Schnell, if that's even how you pronounce that. But I pulled that yesterday. Orlevis Martinez, I couldn't tell you who that is. Colt Keith. Oh, look at this guy. So Colt Keith is supposed to be a top prospect in the Detroit Tigers system. Again, the Detroit Tigers, let me tell you something, how phony they are. They have the best record in baseball. If you look at their offense, they are paper. They are paper thin. You can beat them up with good pitching. You can. They're not that good. I don't know how they're winning games. Their offense is not spectacular. Maybe they got a little pop here and there, but their pitching is, I think, is really what Tarik Skubal's been fantastic. I think Flaherty's been okay. Maybe Reese Olson up until the last couple starts, I think, was pretty good. The bullpen's been really solid with Vest and Canley. Holton, I think, had his moments here and there too. Hennepy. There's a bunch of good bullpen arms as well, but the offense is paper thin. If you go up against them in the playoffs, if the Yankees go up against the Tigers in the playoffs, that's a sweep. I'm telling you right now, no chance. Blake Perkins, okay, he's nobody. George Springer, Connecticut's own. I wonder if he's hurt or healthy. I have no idea. Tampa Bay, okay, there's just a Rays card. DJ Hertz, Tommy John. I think he had Tommy John. I know he's out for season. Pretty sure it's Tommy John. Call to the Hall, Mickey Mantle. I'm assuming this is worth absolutely nothing, but it's just cool to pull a Mickey Mantle, so I'll give that to my kid. I mean, let me do one more pack, too. I like doing this. My kids asked to open these packs. I said, yeah, sure. So I'm going to do it instead. We'll do one more because I'm just depressed right now. This is the only thing that's getting me through life, opening packs of cards for you guys. Hopefully it helps everybody. I already pulled the one card, though, like I said, so it's not really that great. All right, here we go. Christian Yelich, he's on his way out of baseball because I think he's having a good season, but nothing exciting. Adolis Garcia, okay, great. Oh, we got a Philadelphia Phillies team. Nobody cares about them. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., maybe he's on the trade block soon because they are going to start to stink now that Corbin Carroll's gone. Matt Chapman, who's the third baseman of the Giants. Not Rafael Devers, not the guy that they traded for that refused to play anything else but third base. Matt Chapman is the third baseman of the Giants. Carlos Narvaez, who's not on the Yankees anymore, but in this card he is. Luis Robert Jr., who is going to be on the trade block, but he's been so terrible. I don't know how you could want to make a trade for him. Luis Gil, who is yet to throw a major league pitch this year. Matt Olson, who got a single today. Off of last night off of the Mets. Okay. Can't stand him. Bryce Tarang. Here we go. This is not that exciting, but Isak Paredes. All right. And then Jacob DeGrom in a nice Texas Rangers uniform. This was my pick on the Rico Bronya podcast. Jacob DeGrom was my pick to win the Cy Young this year. Now, he's not that far away from being the league leader in ERA. I think his inning total is a little shorter, but I still think he's got 88 innings pitched. I think he's on pace still to be up there. That'll be very depressing when Jacob DeGrom wins a Cy Young again in the American League. He's been dynamite this year. He's been fantastic. So I am happy he is back to form and tip-top shape. All right, that'll do it. I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. Have a fun day tomorrow or today, depending on when you listen to this. Because there's only one place the Mets and Yankees can go, right? It's up. They got to do better than yesterday. 6-1 loss to the Reds. The Yankees lost 6-1 to the Reds. The only run they score again, Aaron Judge. First step out of the game for him. And the Mets, their two runs came off of Juan Soto. It's funny. It's amazing. The Yankees and Mets now are in this thing where it's the only runs are scored by Juan Soto or Aaron Judge. Amazing how that happens. Okay. Listen, thank you for listening to another episode of WFAN Daily with Pete Hoffman. You can always follow me at Hoff WFAN. And at any point in time, download that Odyssey app. That's where you can get this podcast. That's where you can get the Rico Bronya podcast. And that's where you can go listen back to anything you may have missed with Boomer and Geo, BT and Sal, Evan and Tiki, Keith McPherson, Chris McMonagle, anything at all, you can find it on the Odyssey app. As always, you can tune into WFAN on the dial. That's always a possibility too if you want to do that. But thank you for liking, subscribing, all that good stuff. And thank you for listening to another episode of WFAN Daily. See ya.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.